The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
In the second hour is live. We appreciate you being here. Let's get right back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Jim is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Nice to speak with you again.
Thank you.
First, before my Louis Grizzard comment, I wanted to thank you for your comments about the AJC article yesterday. I think that article was ill-timed and inappropriate, and time will tell.
Exactly.
So, but I wanted to share with you one last thing about Louis and his funeral. We were fraternity brothers, and anybody who knew Louis knew that he had a uniform. It was a polo shirt, Gucci loafers, and no socks. And for the funeral, a bunch of the fraternity brothers went to the funeral with that outfit. And after the funeral, they went to Louis's favorite barbecue joint in Noonan in his honor. And I just know that right now Louis would cherish these last 2 years of the Dogs.
Yeah, how I miss not being able to converse with. Can you imagine being able to call up Louis Grizzard and get his opinion on that? That would be priceless.
Well, him, and also as history goes back, he would have loved to have been able to comment on the Clintons too.
Well, I think he would have. I mean, Clinton, and then the previous guy. I think he would have had fun with as well.
Oh yeah, but he was one funny guy.
He really was.
I've
said this before, Jim, and I mean Louis Grizzard opened the door for a lot of people, and I'll put myself in that group to branch out and do other things. And people don't realize that not only was he a newspaper columnist, but he was a stand-up comedian, and he was hilarious at that.
Yeah. Now, that was magical to him. He was at his freshman year at UGA. I don't know if you knew this, Paul. He was the first junior to ever be named the editor of the Red and Black, which is the campus newspaper.
Sure. No, I didn't know that. And I don't want to act like I knew him that well, but I didn't know him. But I was a local guy, and he would come to town, and he'd come on the shows that I did, and I'd run into him at various events. But Louis made more money than anybody made back in the day. There's no telling what Louis would be doing today.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. He spent a lot of time. I was a senior when he was a freshman, and when he came through Rush Ball, he was that country bumpkin that he said he was, and he got herded into what fraternities were terrible back in those days, and he got herded into what was called the nerd room, which meant he wasn't going to be invited back. But when we had after the Rush meeting that night, one of the brothers stood up and says, "Look, this guy is a sharp guy, and we need to bring him back." And there was only two fraternities that invited him back. He got cut by everybody else.
A pleasure, Jim, to hear from you. Thank you very, very much for taking us back in time. Let's check out Bobby, who is in Alabama. Hello, Bobby.
Hello, Paul. Love your show, man. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I have followed your career just about all my life, as far as I can remember, all the way back to when you wrote for the Birmingham paper.
Yes, sir.
In the 70s there, it was a great time. Way you followed Alabama football in the 70s, and I really appreciate your current day show and the way you handle things, and I want to just say that and tell you that. I know you don't get it a lot.
Well, thank you for saying that.
We We appreciate it. And I got a question about Alabama football, reflecting back on your career. If you just kind of nutshell it and say where you would be without Alabama football, your career would have, what kind of path you think it would have taken?
Well, Bobby, thank you for saying that. And I've said this before to friends, but I think I would be nowhere without having covered Alabama and Auburn during that stretch. I mean, that was the majority of my adult life and my almost all of my career. And it really made it made all of this possible. Because there were so many different events going on, it was such a big stage. So it's a really easy answer. Thanks so much for calling, and I appreciate it very much. Let's check out Scott, who is up next. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Paul, you're rocking that pink tie, and I love it, brother.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Probably three, four, five callers ago, just talking about the three best teams in SEC, of course, Alabama and Tennessee's ranked up there. I'm an Auburn guy. I'm about 45 miles north. I say minutes from where you used to work in Birmingham. So I'm an Auburn guy. My team has got a problem scoring, Paul. Bruce Pearl is probably the best defensive basketball coach that I've seen in a long time. But offense, my goodness gracious, we are terrible. You hear me? I mean, even with the Final Four, with all the talent we had, we were struggling then to score.
Oh, yeah.
And
hey, by the way, where north of town do you live?
Paul, I'm in Coleman.
Oh, okay, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. You've been through Coleman, haven't you, Paul?
Many times.
Many, I thought so, yeah. I think you spoke at Coleman High School years and years and years ago.
I believe I did. Yeah, no, I used to. People always wonder. I know James Spann, the meteorologist, is given so much credit for during a weather event in Alabama. How does he know where all these places are? But if you work in Alabama, you end up visiting all these places. And probably in the first half of my career, I spoke at every high school in North Central Alabama. So, you knew every back road and every turn. So, but Coleman really was just, it wasn't far at all. And of course, you were on the map, sir, for a long time there when you had the governor from nearby. Was it Holly Pond?
Yes,
is that right?
That Holly Pond, yeah.
Holly Pond,
Guy Hunt, I believe is his name. Yeah,
sure.
And
was.
Jason Simpson's on WBTM. Jason Simpson's from Holly Pond, also where Guy Hunt was from.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah, I mean, Governor Hunt put Holly Pond on the map. Nobody had ever heard of it outside of Holly Pond.
Yes, sir, he did. All right, Paul, I wanted to get your opinion on that basketball, but maybe I'm going to stir up something here, but can I say one more comment?
I wish you would.
Legend, Mr. Legend, I want you to kiss my Auburn ass, Scott. Bye, Paul.
Scott, I'm really glad we got that last part of the conversation in there. I wonder if we asked that question, if every fan base could say, I would like Legend to do the same thing he said, I bet we would get a lot of phone calls. We'll take a short break, and we are coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back here on this Tuesday. Let's check in with Gordy, who is up next. Hello, Gordy.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Very well. Thank you.
Great. So my question is, do you think that with these next two coordinators that Nick Saban's going to be hiring, what do you think the chances are that he's one of them is ultimately going to be his replacement?
I don't think it's that high, but it's also not impossible because depending on who the person is, that person could be very good, and it is not uncommon to make a coordinator the ultimate head coach.
And do you think that? Do you think that Dan Mullen? Do you think that's realistic that Dan Mullen would come back and instead of being a head coach, do you think he would come back and be a coordinator?
Well, I think it's realistic. I don't think Dan Mullen is a perfect fit at Alabama, though. I think Dan Mullen is eminently capable of being a coordinator and being a head coach again. But something about this mix, that's just an opinion from the sidelines.
And one more question for you. If you think you're talking about, good fits, who do you think would be – I've heard, Jim Leonard thrown around, and a couple different names. Who do you think is the best fit at Alabama for defensive coordinator?
Without a doubt, the best fit is Jeremy Pruitt because he, number one, is superb at being a defensive coordinator. He's been a defensive coordinator under Nick Saban. He's been a defensive assistant under Nick Saban. He's familiar with the territory. He's from Alabama. He went there. And, if he can overcome the hurdles, then I think, there would be a lot for him to prove. And not that he wouldn't do a good job, but I think he would fit in perfectly. And it is no secret that before Jeremy Pruitt, fell apart at Tennessee, he was extremely well-liked at Alabama. And there was even talk about him one day coming back as the head coach. That's how well liked he was inside that building.
Oh, wow! And is that something that do you think the commissioner would allow?
I don't know if it's so much the commissioner's right now because of the case still being undetermined. They need to get a read from the NCAA, and I think they're working on this. This has been. I think Nick Saban has been on this project now for some time, so I'm just guessing. I do not know whether, but I would assume that Nick Saban has talked to the commissioner about this, and somebody has, and they're just simply waiting and finding out. Okay, if we do this, then what is the penalty? What's the worst thing that can happen? It could be that Jeremy Pruitt could coach at Alabama, but he couldn't recruit. Now, can they get over that? At Alabama, you can probably get over that.
Got you. Cool. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much. Yeah, show cause is I think Mullen had a show cause, didn't he? Didn't he while he was at Florida? Did Jimbo have one or not? I can't remember. I know Mullen had one. Show cause. Every show cause isn't the same. Bruce Pearl had a show cause. He kept him out of. Okay, so Jimbo Fisher had a 6-month show cause, and he was the head coach. So it can be done. And if Jeremy Pruitt has to, sit out a recruiting season, then he sits one out. If Nick Saban feels like he's important enough to be on that staff. I mean, with recruiting now, I mean, this isn't the old days where you go back 40 years, you had Alabama and Mississippi. Everybody had a different region. I mean, recruiting is completely different. And Alabama recruits at such a high level. It's so scientific that I think they could get around it. But that's just a thought here without knowing any of the facts. Let's talk to Kevin next in Tennessee. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Paul. Talked to you a couple of weeks ago, if you remember, about Coach Majors and Coach Bryant.
I do remember.
I left off one coach that I met, and I went to his basketball camps growing up as a kid, and that was Sam Newton. I meant to tell you that, and I forgot that the other day. What I'm calling about is, right when I hung up 2 weeks ago, I mentioned about Alabama. The basketball team, Paul, we're looking good. Two stumbling blocks ahead of us, I think. If we can get by them, we should be good till March. And that's the Auburn game at Auburn, which is a hard place to play, and at Knoxville, the Tennessee game.
Yeah, those are both. But Alabama this year has been so good that even if they don't win those games, I don't think it's going to have a very big impact. But by the way, on Sam Newton, I think he's one of the most underappreciated coaches in modern college football history. He was superb. And a classy guy on top of that.
When I went to his camp, Paul, it was in Huntsville, and Martin, his son, did all told us what to do and stuff. But Sam was a very nice man, met him. I'm going to back you up. I think Jeremy Pruitt would be a good defensive coordinator for Alabama. And the guy that was talking just before me about Dan Mullen, I was going to ask you about Dan Mullen, and I don't think he might come to Alabama. But was just wanting to see what your input was on the Alabama basketball team, still hoping they could bring one home the first time ever. If not, bring it home for the championship. How about a Final Four?
Yeah.
Mr. Feinbaum, you have a nice
Kevin,
day.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Alabama has never been to the Final Four. One time Alabama has been to the Elite Eight. That was, 2003, I think, under Mark Gottfried. Think. Let's take some more phone calls. Lewis is in Mississippi. Hello, Lewis. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I just got a few questions about Ole Miss and Kiffin. I was wondering why he would go out and sign Howard and Sanders as quarterbacks, and I know he's got Dart, and I hadn't been impressed with Dart, and I know he needed a backup. I wish he'd have gave Altmyer more of a chance than what he did, and they need defensive players, and I was just wanted your opinion on why they would go out and get Sanders and Howard, because they're not going to be happy sitting on the bench. And also, I hope the Rebel fans give Pete Golding a good chance, because they haven't had a defense in years, and a lot of it's coaching. But if you don't have the players, you're not going to win, and your defense or offense is not going to be any good. And I don't think Kiffin had a good year. He's made some bonehead calls, especially in that Texas Tech game when he went for it on his own 8-yard line, fourth down. I just wanted your opinion on that. But also, I'd like to have a dollar for every person that called in and asked you how you were doing that day.
Hey, Lewis, I wish you'd collect that. I'll give you half of it.
I would. I'd like to have a dollar for over the years. Every time somebody called in and asked you how you're doing, it's no telling how rich I would be.
Well, wish you hadn't reminded me of all that lost money. Thanks for the call. As far as Dart, I think you're right. Kiffin clearly is looking elsewhere. Thank you for the call. Mac is in Colorado. Hello, Mac.
Hello there, Mr. Feinbaum. Coach Paul, how are you, sir?
We're doing great. Thank you.
How are you doing?
Fantastic.
I'm trying to add dollars.
I just made four more dollars, by the way.
How are you doing, sir?
$6.
Hey, I just wanted to throw this out here. I'm from Colorado, but longtime Bama fan. Roll Tide. I'm going to lay this out here the way it's going to go down. And you can quote me. You can take a picture of it. Put me on record. The Coach Saban is going to coach for 3, maybe 4 more years. And at that time, his Aflac co-star is going to take over.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
I think that's great. I hope it happens. I hope you're right.
Prime time Alabama.
Can you imagine Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, walking through?
They won't even need NIL money.
No. Alabama will never lose another game under Coach Prime.
Paul, you have a great, great
Thank
day,
you very
buddy.
Much. Well, listen, I don't think it's unrealistic. I joked about it yesterday, and somebody picked it up, and nobody knows when Nick Saban is going to step down. We may all be wrong. He may really coach until he's 80 years old. Let's take a break. More to come, more of your phone calls right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back here. Let's continue with more phone calls and checking in with Lee in Cincinnati. Lee, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
And what I wanted to ask you about was, if I'm not mistaken, you said, I read it somewhere, that you supposedly were quoted as saying that the Florida Gators were probably the biggest disappointment in the Southeastern Conference this year, and I couldn't agree more. But I guess what I'm asking is, do you see any hope in the future for the Gators?
I'm certainly perplexed by what I'm seeing. I realize it takes time, but I was expecting more out of them from a recruiting standpoint, considering that the excuse in the past has always been the facilities, and the facilities right now rank among the best in the country.
Well, I agree with you with that. And I will say this, the mass exodus of players, if you want to call it that, I think that those are players who I'm hoping that those are players who weren't quite up to the talent level that we would need for the Gators, are trying to go elsewhere, and that Napier's trying to, for lack of better words, clean house to get in the kind of talent level and the people that he wants running his system. I'm just, like you said, I'm perplexed as well that they didn't have a better recruiting class than they did for that very reason, because they do have top-notch facilities now, finally. And so I'm just,
maybe I'm just spoiled with Florida, having seen the Spurrier run and then what Urban Meyer did, but there's just no excuse for Florida to be subpar. And another thing that concerns me about Florida is who's going to be the quarterback, and also the schedule. If you've looked at Florida's schedule next year, it's the reverse of what they had this year, which means they go to Utah to begin the season. And, they've got, garbage games like McNeese and Charlotte. How about this? Tennessee in the third game at Kentucky. So, let's just say play the chalk here. They lose to Utah. They don't beat Tennessee. And then they go to Kentucky. I mean, they could have three losses before the first half of the season's over, and they still have to go to South Carolina, Georgia, LSU, Missouri, and Florida State. So wins start to become really precious.
Well, I think that, to be quite honest with you, with the schedule that they have for next year, and like we said, with the uncertainty they have at quarterback right now, now they could get a good transfer quarterback in, granted, but I still think that, no offense, it pains me to say this, I think a 500 record next year, I think that that would be passable. I could live with that. It's just Napier's got to get it turned around soon. That's why he was hired.
And if you don't have significant improvement, and I'm not really sure right now whether they can do that, you start to really take it on the chin in the gossip wars and in the recruiting wars, and especially if Georgia continues. And let's be honest, Georgia is going to continue. I don't know. I mean, I just think Napier has done very little to inspire confidence right now.
I completely agree with you. But what I'm hoping is, I'm hoping that that'll change.
Well, by the way, it can change. He's capable of it. I think he's got the track record. But there are a few places more difficult to win people over than Florida. And we have seen, I think, the fragility of that fan base. And Lee, if he doesn't have a significant upgrade next year, there's no telling where that fan base will be next at the end of next season. Thank you for the call. We will continue with Ted, who is up next. Hey, Ted.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are well. Thank you.
Good. Been a long-time listener. I used to listen to you in the corner of my garage and till the power shut down in Birmingham. But one quick question, based on a former caller just called, where would Alabama be and where would you be if Mal Moore had not fired Mike Shula?
Well, Alabama would have missed a great opportunity. Could they have made up for it at time? I think they needed Nick Saban at that moment in time. The stars were aligned. It would have affected me. I said when I came to ESPN that Nick Saban in many ways was responsible, and I didn't mean he did anything specifically except. He elevated that program to such a degree that it made our show more visible. We were seen and heard by a lot more people as a result, and it made it easier to make this transition.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'd probably be raking leaves right now if Mike Shula had been there much longer. Ryan is in Kansas City. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Paul, I was calling today from more of an Oklahoma perspective, but why are you so certain that Jeff Lebby is going to be the new OC for Alabama? Because whenever he was hired at Oklahoma, we originally heard that he was kind of running a lot of the show at Ole Miss behind the scenes.
Hey, by the way, I want to make it clear, Ryan. I am not certain. When I say things like Jeff Lebby is in the running, I am using people that follow this on a minute-to-minute basis as our source. We had Chris Lowe on the other day. He's in these weeds every day. We're not. I don't know that. I've had a few friends of mine push back and say, "Hey, the guy just got there. He's got the top quarterback in the country, or one of the top quarterbacks in the country coming in. He's already got a great quarterback now, so it would be foolish for him to bail." I understand all that. But I think the lure of Alabama and Nick Saban is the other thing to factor in.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. And, like, I just wouldn't know if someone would want to move their family a year after moving to your alma mater.
I wouldn't want to. I can tell you that right now.
So.
Well, Ryan, I'm glad you brought that up, because I am not a reporter. I'm a talk show host, and we rely on reporters who trade in these information games all the time. And the one thing about information that you hear, some of it's independent. Some of it's people know people who know people. A lot of times at this point of the season, it's messaging that is being spoon-fed by particular agents to promote their guy, not so much for the next job, but for a better deal for the current job. Matt is up next. Good afternoon, Matt.
Yes, good afternoon. I called a few weeks ago and kind of tried to lay down the truth about the Big Ten and Michigan football. Well, I'm actually calling today from Michigan to talk about Alabama and caution college football fans, especially Georgia. Now, Georgia, I don't think is going anywhere, as you've said and many other people have said. But I also don't think Nick Saban's going anywhere. And if you think for a minute, and I know you don't, but especially people around the country, and Georgia fans in particular, think that Nick Saban's just going to lay down, and Georgia now is this new dynasty that's replaced Alabama and Nick Saban, I think we are sorely mistaken. I don't see it happening. I see Nick Saban winning at least two more national championships in the next 7 years. Whether or not Georgia gets another one yet to be determined, but I think it's a little premature to anoint Georgia. I know they won two in a row, but it's a little premature to take what Alabama's done and anoint Georgia and put them ahead of Alabama. I think Nick Saban's an animal, and I think he's taken everything that everybody said personal, and I think he's coming back, and I think you're going to see Alabama win two more in 7 years. You have a nice day, Paul.
Thank you, Matt. And listen, I think that's the new narrative in college football. And, one thing when we talk about Nick Saban, everyone knows what he's capable of doing. And, the question isn't whether he's capable. The question is, where is the program and is it going the wrong way? Well, you could argue that it is, but you could also quickly push back and say, if you're going the wrong way, where does the first signs start to show up? It's usually in recruiting, and you cannot make that argument considering Saban had, I looked at one of the recruiting lists last night, and you're going along the top 25 players, and you can read a lot into this or you can read whatever you want into it. And all of a sudden, there's USC and UCLA and Texas A&M, and there's like four straight players, like 6, 7, 8, and 9 are from Alabama. And then the 15th player and the 24th player. And all of a sudden, you start to think, oh, my goodness. I mean, these aren't just good recruits. I mean, these are monster recruits that he's bringing in. So what does he do with them? Does he find the right quarterback? That's critical. And Nick Saban has had to replace both coordinators before, but he's always had a stable of coordinators out there. He had Steve Sarkisian in the wind. He's had others who came in, Kirby for Jeremy Pruitt for Kirby, Sarkisian for Kiffin, Dable, Bill O'Brien. He's out there shopping right now, and people in Alabama are watching it very closely, with the expectation he'll make the right decision. The expectation. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back here on a Tuesday afternoon, Dr. Butch is up next. Hey, Dr. Butch.
Hello, Paul.
Hi there.
Hey, I'm doing fine. Paul, I think it's going to be impossible to mesh university academics along with the corruption that all this money is going to bring in. And I'm going to tell you what I think is going to happen. And if you think I'm nuts, just say so. You can't hurt my feelings. I've been a dentist for over 50 years. So, I think, and I won't see it in my lifetime, I think eventually you're going to have a minor league football. I think kids coming out of high school that aren't interested in an education be able to enter this league, play 2 years, and apply for the NFL. Then the ones that want to get an education can come to school and play, get a free education like it used to be. Now, that's what I think is going to happen eventually. What do you think?
Yeah, I think maybe you're right. By the way, are you still practicing dentistry?
No, I retired about 8 years ago. But I did practice 50 years.
That is amazing. I mean, that's a lot of standing up.
Well, by the time I graduated dental school back in 1969, we were learning to sit down.
Oh, okay. How strange is it, Doc, to all the time that you're working on a patient, they can't talk back?
Yeah, that's wonderful. I can be very efficient.
You know, you're right.
I didn't have to answer a lot of stupid questions.
Yeah, you're right. Cause, I mean, most doctors, they've got to be able they have a skill set to, you know, when they ask somebody, tell me a little bit about your medical history. And, well, when I was 3 years old, and then they go, no, can we make it? You don't have to worry about all that, do you?
No, not generally, no.
Unless that's great.
They're really having some serious medical problems. Yeah, then we have to worry about that. So we do have to collaborate with the
Did you practice in Louisiana most of that time?
Hammond, Louisiana.
Hammond, okay. I guess you never had to worry about being the most famous dentist in Louisiana with Billy Cannon around during the early days.
No, I did not. Billy's a bit more famous than I am.
Well, that's fine. Hey, Doc, thanks so much. What a career. 50 years as a dentist. A lot of fillings. Kevin is up next in St. Louis. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Paul, you're looking very suave and debonair today with that pink tie, brother.
Thank you very much.
Hey, a caller right before the break that was talking about Kirby Smart being the next coming or not being the next coming. I was just thinking, they owe the Ohio State team such a gift, because if that kid kicks that field goal, what do you think the narrative would have been about Kirby Smart the day after that?
Let's start with one and done. Couldn't handle the big game. I mean, it would be endless. Even with winning one, it would have been pretty vicious. Losing to a team that many did not think even deserved to be in. It would also have emboldened Alabama fans. Something awful.
My point exactly.
Yeah. And my response back to you is, did he make the field goal? And does it really matter? Reese is up next. Hello, Reese.
Hey, Paul. This is Reese here. I'm a second year here at Auburn University. And, you know, we've had 2 years of just not good stuff here on the Plains football-wise. I just wanted some realistic expectations for Hugh in his first year. You know, we got the second transfer portal class. We got a top 20 class, recruiting class. I just want to hear some expectations from you.
I'm pretty upbeat, Reese. First of all, maybe I covered Alabama and Auburn too long to believe that Auburn is never a threat at Jordan-Hare Stadium. I've seen it too many times, as you have. So, you know, when you look at, it's hard to really get a feel for his team yet, because it's still in transition. But I think they'll have a moderate season. I have to study the schedule a little bit closer before I could give you a number. I think it's going to be, you know, somewhere in the 500 range, and what that means is you have a lot of tweener games. You know, can you steal a home game or two to get you to a bowl game and have what you would consider a good season? And, you know, a lot of it also depends on you're playing Georgia, you know, you're playing Alabama. You have Alabama at home. Where's the Georgia game? Is that at home too?
Yeah, so here's the schedule.
UMass at California, Samford. You could win those three games, and then it gets really challenging. I mean, the good news is this. You know, you have Georgia from the other side. You have Vanderbilt. It could be a lot worse. It could be Tennessee. You know, the road games, I see one. I'm going to count the games in my head. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think it's going to come down. Right now, I would say 500 at worst.
I love that prediction. I'm thinking 8-9 wins. I'm thinking Hughes coming out with a bang.
I'll tell you what, Reese, if you can find me, Reese, if you can find me 9 wins on that schedule, I want you to call me off the air, and then I want you to pick a couple of stocks on the Dow Jones for me to buy tomorrow with my life savings. We are coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.